Thank you for tuning into sermons from Liberty Baptist Church in Newport Beach, California. Our goal is to help you know God more and take the next step in your spiritual journey, no matter where you're at. If you have questions about God or about Liberty, you can connect with us at libertybaptistchurch.org. We pray that the Lord will use this message to be a help and encouragement in your life.
If you have your Bibles, you're going to want to open them, and we'll have the verses up on the screens too. Ephesians and chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2, and today, as Pastor mentioned, kind of stepping away from our verse-by-verse study through the book of Luke that Pastor has been doing. And again, I love verse-by-verse. I love teaching it, preaching that way. It gives you your context right there, and listening to it and taking and applying those scriptural truths. But today is obviously a special day. And being the second week of our ministry involvement Sundays, wanted to give you an idea and really an encouragement and a challenge to be involved in the work that God is doing here at Liberty. And there are a ton of ways that you can get involved here at the church. Two of the main ways are what we highlight in the lobby today, and that would be your community groups and through your service teams. And so we're going to kind of talk about even the message today is going to be more informational than it is exegetical, where you're taking a passage and breaking it down and showing. So we're going to give you some things today that you can hopefully use in your life, but then really encourage you to sign up for groups and teams out in the lobby when the service is over today. But I feel like I need to, if you've been in church any length of time, start with a really easy and simple statement, and it is this. This is not a guilt trip message, okay? If you've been in church any length of time, you may have heard a message that guilt trips God's people into serving more. And I really feel like you miss the heart of service. You miss the whole reason why God is asking us to do these things in the first place. And so the message today comes from a heart of love. And here's the truth. Here's the truth that I want us to get from the very beginning this morning. Serving isn't just about meeting needs. Serving is about discovering joy in your life. Let me give you an illustration. I've heard it said, especially in the context of churches, that the person who has helped the most in any class setting is the teacher. Well, why? Because the teacher is the one that week who is studying and praying and preparing and planning and wrestling over the lesson before they ever have to get up and stand and give that lesson to anybody else. My wife and I were able to live this firsthand for a while. At our last ministry, we oversaw a couples class, and every Sunday, there were really only two topics that we ever covered for about 5 years, and it was the topic of parenting and the topic of marriage. And so every week, as I would study on parenting or marriage, I would have to make sure that I was putting those things into practice at my home before I ever stood up in front of anybody else. My wife loved when I would teach on marriage, because she's like, you must be teaching on marriage. You're acting really nice to me this week. And so who's helped the most? The teacher, the person who gets involved. And we're going to talk today, serving is not just about meeting needs. It is about discovering joy in our lives. But you know what else really happened in that class that my wife and I helped oversee? We created lifelong friendships and bonds that we still have to this day. And how did that happen? Because we immersed ourselves and we got involved in a community group and in a life stage class where people were going through the exact same things in life that we were at the exact same time. And it was nice to be able to find out, well, they have a question on marriage, or they have a question on parenting, or they're, how do I communicate with my spouse when this happens? And when you come together as a community, it helps build who you are in Christ, but it also gives you a support system and you're helped along the way. And so we're going to take just 5 minutes, if less than that, and just kind of explain. You've heard us talk for several weeks about Rooted, and you saw in Pastor's video there. We're going to kind of go through the Rooted groups that are starting this week. The great thing is we have 20 Rooted groups on 4 different days, on Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, and Sunday. And Rooted is more than just a 10 to 12 week Bible study. It is, no matter your, and if you're a brand new Christian, if you've been saved for 50 years, there is something in this curriculum that is going to help strengthen and encourage you in your daily life. And it talks about service. It talks about strongholds or addictions. It talks about prayer. It talks about the Word of God and how important it is into our life. And so I think we have slides, and we're going to kind of go over and just real briefly, like I said, more informational to kind of start with, the different rooted groups. Because here's the goal. That every single person that's sitting in here this morning, as you walk out on the left-hand side, that those two rows, you sign your name up for a rooted community group. Find a time that works for you. On Tuesdays, I think we're going to quickly go through the slides here. On Tuesdays, Doug McMaines has a in-home Bible study for seniors. Find these groups out there and sign up for them. Also on, that's I think in the morning time, I think generally about 10 o'clock or so on Tuesdays. Tuesday evenings, Craig Smith does, it's an open group and it is an in-home Bible study. If Tuesday nights work for you, go sign up and be a part of that group there with Craig Smith. On Wednesdays is where most of our connection groups happen. My wife and I are leading a couples group. Also Chad Bowman is leading a couples group. Josue Aguirre is leading a young couples group, Lee Godby, and then the next couple are all life stages. Lee Godby has an all life stages group. Doug McMaines on Wednesday evening has an all life stages group. Kevin Cyprian has an all life stages group. Rodney Williams has an all life stages group. A new leader we're excited about this year, Jason Hay, has an all life stages group. And then Pastor Jay has talked about, maybe you're like, I don't know where I fit. I'm new. I don't really know these people. Sign up for a Flex Fit, and Pastor Jay will make sure that you get put in your life stage and with people that are going to work well with you in your community group. That sign up sheet is out there as well. So Tuesday, Wednesday, and then Thursday nights is our young adults. All of the young adults, we're going to go through Rooted together as well. Looking forward to RJ leading that. And then on Sundays, we have groups during this hour at 9 o'clock. My wife has a ladies group that will meet. I have a men's group that will meet. Renee Baltas has a Filipino group that meets. Cesar Valdovinos has a Spanish men's group that meets. Olga has a Spanish ladies group that meets. That's all during the 9 o'clock hour. And then at 10:45, Diana has a ladies group, and they've met for a while and now going to go into the rooted curriculum. Looking forward to that. And then Joe Walsh as well has a men's group. So here's, we wanted to highlight all of those. So as you walked out, you knew who you were looking for, but also to say this. In all reality, none of us have any excuse for us not to have our names put Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, or Sunday, 9 a.m., 10:45. Find a life stage. Find a group that works for you and get involved as we jump into our rooted groups this morning and starting this week on Tuesday night. So, okay, Pastor Mike, why? Why go over informational stuff? Why do that? Because that is what today is all about. And here's a really cool, I think, phrase that needs to be the backbone kind of the rest of the message this morning, and it's this: encouraging you to serve in the church is not something that we want to do to you, but it's something that we want to do for you. As we go through the message today, you're going to see when you begin to serve and when you begin to jump into community groups and when you begin to be a part of a service team, God does something, yes, through you to help in your area of service, but He changes you in the process. And your life is changed for the better if you can get involved. And so today is not, we want to make you do this. This is something, if you do this, God has amazing life and amazing blessings in store for you. So today, coming from a different mindset, it is not a guilt trip message. This is not from a place of shame. This is coming from the idea this morning that if you decide and you allow God to use you in the work that He is doing here at Liberty, God can literally give you an amazing, abundantly successful and joyful Christian life by just giving your life to Him. And so we're going to kind of talk about that today, but using kind of some verses to launch out. Ephesians chapter 2, if you're there, follow with me. I'm going to talk fast. You listen fast, and we'll get through the message today. Looking forward to seeing what God has for us. Ephesians chapter 2, beginning in verse number 8, the Bible says this: "For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them." And this passage gives a powerful picture of the life that Jesus Christ has created for us once we are saved. Follow with me this morning. I think the passage is abundantly clear, and so are other scriptures, that there is nothing that we can do in our life to earn salvation. I can't be good enough. I can't do enough good works to ever earn my way to heaven. For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It's the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Well, I finally did enough to earn my way to heaven. Folks, this morning, if I could ever be good enough to earn my way to heaven, why did Jesus Christ come down and die on a cross and shed his blood for me? I can't earn my way there. So it's only by grace through faith that I can make it to heaven. But you look at verse number 10 there. I love how he finishes up. He says, for we are his workmanship created in Christ Jesus unto good works. Paul uses, through the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, a beautiful word picture here. That word workmanship. For we are his workmanship created in Christ Jesus. The word workmanship there, we know the New Testament was written originally in the Greek language. The word workmanship literally means masterpiece or work of art. So here's what happened. When Jesus Christ saved you, for by grace he saved through faith, for we are created his workmanship, he didn't just save you from your sin and give you a home in heaven. What he began to do is he began to create in you his perfect masterpiece. And he began to create in you exactly who you were supposed to be. He created in you your life's passions, your natural talents, your spiritual gifts, all uniquely woven together for the express purpose of serving Jesus Christ. For we are his workmanship created in Christ Jesus unto good works. So it's important to understand this morning, we definitely were not saved by works, but we are most definitely saved to good works. And as Jesus saves us, he created you exactly how you were supposed to be for the purpose of using those gifts and talents for the Lord Jesus Christ. But here's the challenge. One of the great struggles in the modern church or even Western civilization this morning is that we have drifted towards entitlement and self-promotion rather than humble service, right? Well, I think we all would agree we live in a society today that asks, what can I get, a whole lot more than it asks, what can I give? Right, we live in a, I know I'm younger on the, I feel younger, on the younger side, we live today in America, we live in a handout society where the goal is often to do the least amount possible while expecting the greatest benefit in return. But sadly, that mindset has crept its way into the church, and the church for many has become a consumer experience. What happens is we now come to church and we come asking, I hope my seat is there today. I hope I like the message. I hope I really like the song set that they sing today. I really hope I like the meat that is in the breakfast burrito, Mr. Chad. No, we always like the breakfast burritos, wherever Chad is at. We come to church now with the idea that we are going to come and consume church. But church family, this morning, the church was never designed to be consumed by us. The church was designed to transform us. And the church was designed that when God did a work in my heart, that doesn't stop with me, but it flows through me, so the work of God can then transform somebody else. Think about when you first came to church. Imagine if there was nobody serving. There were no nurseries, there were no kids ministries, there was no choir, there's no sound people, there's probably nobody preaching. It wouldn't be church. You know why? Because church was never designed to be consumed by us. Church was designed to transform us and allow God to use the gifts and talents that he's given us to help transform somebody else. So today, the goal and the idea is this is not a guilt trip. This is not a I can't believe that you aren't doing enough. This is an idea this morning. If we can get a hold of it, God can literally give you an amazing, abundantly joyful Christian life if we allow him, if we serve him here at the church. Look at Matthew chapter 20. Matthew chapter 20, what does this look like in a practical sense? Matthew chapter 20, verse number 26 says this, but it shall not be so among you. He's talking to the disciples, and they came to him and they were asking, who's going to sit at your right hand when we get to heaven? We want to be the greatest among all of the people that were here on earth. And Jesus is correcting them, and he says, but it shall not be so among you. But whosoever will be great among you, let him be your minister. And that word minister there has the idea of servant. And whoever will be chief among you, Lord, the highest ranked, let him be your, and we see that word servant, but that word servant actually has even a more negative connotation of slave. So he's basically saying whoever's the greatest among you needs to be the servant. Whoever feels like they are ranked the highest actually is the slave, even as the Son of Man, even as Jesus Christ came not to be, and that word minister is serve, right? He came not to be served, but to serve and to give his life a ransom for many. We know the whole life of Jesus Christ was lived and built off of and centered around humility and service while he was here on earth. We have went through the book of Philippians with Pastor last year. Philippians chapter 2 and verse number 5 says this, "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation and took upon him the form of a servant and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name." What did Jesus tell his disciples would be the crowning way for people to understand that they were followers of Jesus Christ? It wasn't by the way they dressed. It wasn't by the way they talked. It even wasn't necessarily by the places they went. John chapter 13, Jesus says this, "A new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another as I have loved you, that ye also love one another. By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if ye have love one to another." Follow me with this. So what is biblical love? John chapter 3, verse number 16. "For God so loved the world that he gave." Amy Carmichael is quoted by saying, "You can give without loving, but you cannot love without giving." What is the whole idea if we are to be Christ followers, if we are to be Christians in name? Little Christ is what that meant. And if we're to emulate our lives after Jesus Christ, what is that as to look like? We're to love our neighbors. And how do we do that? By giving. By living a life of humble service for those that are around us. About 50 years after the writing of John, the half-brother of Jesus Christ, James, wrote the book of James. And this is going to be the verse that we use to kind of launch into the actual message today. James chapter 1 and verse number 22 says this, "But be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves." And so this morning, as we take a look at this verse and talking about when we put faith, put our actions to the faith that we have and go from simply just listening to actually doing to watch what God will do in our own lives, but then also here at the church. And the big idea that James starts to lay out is this, that transformation happens in the doing, not just the hearing. Last illustration, and then we'll jump into the actual main points and go real quickly through those, would be this. I think the easiest way to illustrate that would be as if this morning, if we were to put up on the screens somebody working out. Maybe it's a guy and he's lifting weights, or somebody's running on a treadmill, or there's a strength and conditioning coach and they're shouting instructions at us, or eat this, don't do this, run this many miles, burn this many calories. And we're sitting here as a church family and for 30 minutes, we listen and listen and listen to all of the instructions that are going on to help us transform our physical bodies. Do you realize that as we walk out the doors today, not one of us has transformed our physical body simply by listening? Wouldn't that be nice? Let's just listen to that. Don't listen to me. Let's put that on. The transformation physically happens when you start to do. And what James is trying to encourage us all is the transformation in your spiritual life doesn't happen simply by, yes, coming to church and listening to messages, all good, but that's not the complete picture. Transformation in your spiritual life starts to happen when you actually go from hearing to doing. And so in our lives, how can we encourage you to be involved here at Liberty? What does this look like in real life? And three practical steps today that can happen as we move from simply hearing to doing. Number one, this morning I see doers engage. Doers engage while hearers just observe. Wow, man, Pastor Mike, you must have gone to seminary. Be super smart to say that doers engage and hearers just listen. Man, so smart. No, here's the idea behind that, is that we have to understand that doers for the cause of Christ get to the point where they finally in their lives realize, show me a need and put me to work. I have a graphic, and I think hopefully it will make sense to you. And I think this is something that we're going to bring up back at the very end. And it says this, "My name is..." and it's fill in the blank. And then after that, it says, at liberty I do blank. Do you realize every single one of us, according to the word of God, if we go from hearers to doers, we should be able to fill this in, and I'll use my name. My name is Mike, and at liberty I do, and I should be able to fill in the blank with something that I do here at the church. And the goal for all of us sitting in here today is to be able to put your name in. I sing in the choir. I work in the nursery. I help in the coffee shop. I whatever it is. And that's why we have all of these service teams that are here that we want to explain and talk about and kind of encourage you to be a part of, because according to the word of God, everybody in here should be able to say, my name is, and at liberty I do what? So what are some of those service teams? As you go out, again, informational this morning, we have the nursery. I love the idea. I have four kids of my own, and all of them are now able to actually, they're at the age where they can sit in church. But man, when my wife and I had babies, it would have been very distracting if we had every single baby sitting in here this morning, hard to concentrate, hard to be able to pay attention to the word of God. I am so thankful for the nursery workers. You could sign up for nursery. You could sign up for, I know we joked about the meats where, I don't know where Chad is at, but the breakfast club. People get here about 7 or 7:30 on a Sunday morning and start to prep and prepare for the 9 o'clock service to have breakfast burritos, and we can put you on a schedule of maybe once a month that you'd be able to come in early and help with that. That is out there. Hospitality is out there. I know Pastor talked about it a little bit last week of God has gifted us through your financial giving the two missions apartments that are back here, and they are filled almost on a daily basis to help with missionaries and people coming through. And man, it has been a huge help. But obviously when people leave, those apartments need to be churned over again. And so this is one that you can do at your own schedule. Maybe it's a Tuesday or a Thursday or a Friday or a Saturday where you have just an hour or two, 2 hours a month, 3 hours a month. Sign up for hospitality. Pastor Doug could use some help getting those all taken care of. Safety and security. I'm so thankful. I don't know, he was in here earlier. Steve Mills and all the job that he does to organize and to keep us safe here and to make sure that we have people walking around the property. Pastor mentioned this last week as well. If you are a medical professional or you have a law enforcement background, even if you don't sign up for the safety and security team, maybe go by and give them your name or number. And if there's ever any incidents or things that they need help with, they can reach out to you. Choir. The choir is a blessing every Sunday. Sign up for the choir. Here's a really cool one that I don't think many people know of. Pastor's prayer partners. Every single service, 9 and 10:45, there are people that are meeting over here. And while the preaching is going on, there's a handful of three or four or five guys that are praying that God would use the message. Maybe that's something, oh, I don't feel like I have talents, but I don't mind partnering with some guys to pray during a service. Sign up for that out there. First impressions. You know, there's a statistic that people have determined that if they will return to a church or not upon their first visit before the service even begins. It's really important for our first impressions team to greet people and to welcome them and to have them come on in. That's something really, you can just stand out there and wave. I love this morning coming in and seeing the signs being held and the kids waving and honk if you're excited for church. Like, man, that's awesome. What a great way to encourage people to get excited for what's going to happen in our services. Those are just a few of the service teams that are going on out there. But let me encourage you to be able to say, my name is, and at Liberty I do what? Find a spot that you can take those natural talents or spiritual gifts that God has given you and put them to use. Not only do doers engage, I see secondly this morning, doers experience. Doers experience. When we begin to be a doer and engage in the work of God, there is a time where we experience a joy in our life that can only be found when we begin to serve other people. I was in Bible college and was overseeing a bus route, and they called it a bus captain, and I was over that route for about a year and a half, and I was about to graduate college and leave and go actually to a different city and be a part of a ministry. And so it was coming down to the last week of me being that bus captain, and we had organized like a little farewell at the park afterwards. And if you've ever been on a bus route or know anything like it, it's like the service starts at 10 o'clock, and so you're at the church at 8 o'clock and you're making sure the bus is clean. You go out and you pick all the kids up and you bring them back in, and then you go to your class, and then you're at church at 11 o'clock, and then you pick all the kids up, and then we went to the park afterwards, and now you're dropping them off, and it's like 6 hours later, and it's like, whew, man, I am tired. And so on this day, what happened to be the last day that I was with this bus route, there was a family that we had reached while I was on there, and it was a young girl, and her brother started to come a few months before this day that we're talking about here, the last day that I was there. He was 5 years old, and they lived with grandma and grandpa. And I'm sitting next to this five-year-old, and it's the last day. I'm excited. Like, there's a lot of emotions going on. I'm a little bit tired. It's like 2 o'clock or 2:30, and you've been going since 8 o'clock, and it's like I'm ready to just sit down for a second. And we're driving all of the kids back to their homes, and this five-year-old boy comes, and he sits down next to me. And he looks at me, and he just randomly starts to tell me his life story. You know, kids can just start to talk about things. And he starts to tell me how dad has never been in the picture, how mom, he didn't really understand all the technicalities of it, but just had some addiction problems and was never in their life. And they lived with grandma and grandpa, and grandma and grandpa did the best that they could, but they were up in years. And so he said they sent him off to church to get some help on the weekends. And he looks up at me and he says, "Brother Mike, today was the best day of my life." And I was like, "All we did was we picked you up, we took you to church, we went to the park and had some like watermelon. That's it." And so I'm sitting there like, he probably doesn't mean that. I mean, like, it can't be the best day. And about 5 or 10 seconds later, it's quiet. He looks at me and he said something I will never forget for the rest of my life. He looks at me and he goes, "Brother Mike, thank you for picking me up on the bus." And my heart melted. And I was sitting there thinking, I'm so tired, I'm so busy, I've got all these things to do. And this five-year-old boy just needed somebody to serve and to pick him up on a bus. There is a joy that happens inside of you that can only happen when you begin to serve other people. But what I think happens sometimes in our life is this. The Sea of Galilee, Pastor has been talking about this in the book of Luke and a lot of the miracles that Pastor did, that Jesus did. Pastor didn't do any miracles. Pastor talked about Jesus doing all the miracles around the Sea of Galilee. I think we have a picture of what that looks like up on the screen, and called the Lake of Gennesaret, Sea of Tiberias, a bunch of different things, but you see the big lake there, the Sea of Galilee. There's a river that runs from the north, and then running out of the south of the lake of the Sea of Galilee is the Jordan River. And the Jordan River takes the water that comes into the Sea of Galilee, and it gives it an outflow. And we know that the Jordan River is very famous in the Bible, and the children of Israel crossing it and miracles and things happening into the Jordan River. And then let's slide over to the next picture. The Jordan River flows south into the Dead Sea. And the Dead Sea is famous because the Dead Sea has no natural outflow of water. The only way that water can escape out of the Dead Sea is by evaporation. And so it leaves behind salts and minerals, and there's no fish, there's no wildlife that can, marine life that can live in the Dead Sea because it has no natural outflow, and the water begins to stagnate. The water just begins to sit, and there's no outflow of what is coming in. And I think what happens oftentimes in really good Christians and in really good churches, we talked about Ephesians chapter 2, by grace are you saved through faith. We receive the grace of God into our lives, but what happens is we never have an outflow of that grace to anybody else. And our Christian lives and our spiritual lives sometimes begin to stagnate. Like, I don't know what's going on. I feel like I come to church and I sit and I listen to pastor's message and I go home and I don't really feel any different. What's going on? Do you realize the Christian life was never meant, the grace of God that flows into our lives was never meant to stop with us. The grace of God that flows into our life is meant for us to then be an outflow and a blessing to somebody else and to share that grace of God with somebody else. And our lives were meant to be an inflow of the grace of God and then an outflow of the grace of God because that's how we were created. Philippians chapter 2, we read earlier, let this mind be in you, verse 7, made himself of no reputation. You jump down to verse number 12, wherefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, he goes on to say, work out your own salvation. And we talked about this. This does not mean work for your salvation. It means that when Jesus Christ does something inside of you and the grace of God comes inside of you, it should become so powerful that it actually works its way out to other people. And in our lives, we have got to understand to have the mind of Christ, to be a servant. There should be an outflow of the representation of what God is already doing in our lives. We started this whole thing, James chapter 1, right? Was the beginning, be ye doers of the word and not hearers only. So James is trying to express to these Christians, he's trying to say there should be action that is put to the faith that God has given you. Well, one chapter later in James chapter 2, he says this, even so faith, if it hath not works, is dead, being alone. Yea, a man say, thou hast faith, and I have works. James is saying, show me thy faith without thy works, and I will show thee my faith by my works. Verse number 26, for as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead also. He's not saying that we're saved by works, but he's saying if that faith inside you is really real, then what Jesus Christ has done inside of you should be so powerful, it shows itself out to other people. I think what happens, as we talked about earlier, I think what happens sometimes in our lives is church has become a consumer experience for many. And so we come and we sit and our lives, our spiritual lives, our Christian lives, in all reality, there's no outflow of that grace of God and it begins to stagnate a little bit. Have you ever been there? Your Christian life kind of becomes a little bit stale, potentially like, I know I should be reading my Bible. I know I should be praying, but I'm really not. And I'm really not serving. I just need a little bit of a break right now. And I understand there's life stages and everybody needs a break. I'm not saying you have to go full pedal all the time, 24/7. But if you follow what God is trying to say here through the book of James, I believe he's saying, I think some of us are waiting in life for a blessing or a breakthrough in our spiritual life, but I believe that breakthrough is waiting for us on the other side of obedience. When you begin to obey and you begin to serve and you begin to give of your life for other people, God is like, now I'm ready to bless you. Isn't that the same way? If you have children, isn't that the same way we deal with our children? I'm not saying that we are like God in any way, but if I have children and I know that I want them to do something and they're not doing it, it's just kind of like, okay. And then when they finally do what I've been trying to get them to do the whole time, there's a blessing and there's a promise. There's something that comes with that. And I think some of us were like, man, my Christian life seems a little bit stale. I think for some, God's waiting for you to kind of jump in. He's waiting for you to be able to have an outflow of the grace of God that comes already inside of you. Lastly, this morning, I see that doers engage and doers experience. We talked a little bit about this already, but I see lastly that doers enjoy. Church family, we talked at the very beginning, serving is not about meeting needs. Serving is about discovering joy. There is an unbelievable joy in your Christian life when you begin to serve the Lord and allow him to work through you to help other people. But I think here's one of the keys to understanding this is that serving doesn't just come with eternal rewards, it comes with earthly dividends and benefits as well, and you get to see this firsthand. I'm not talking about your financial portfolio or your bank account, but I'm talking being able to rejoice and be excited when God uses you or allows the church to see life change happen in other people. I think the first picture that we have up here is a picture of myself in a Roman. If you don't know Roman, Roman came about probably 8 months ago. Roman came on a Wednesday night because his son Mark's first grade teacher invited his family to come be here on a Wednesday evening to be a part of the Kids Point program. So because Kids Point workers, who many of them worked a full-time job all day Wednesday, and came and decided to give of their time a little bit extra on a Wednesday night, created a kids program where a first grade teacher could come and invite her students. And they came that night, Roman and Oksana and Mark and Adam. And they came that night, and lo and behold, in our lobby and in our community center, because of God's people giving of their time, we were here organizing and creating Bibles in the Ukrainian language. Little did we know that Roman and Oksana were born and raised in Ukraine. And they walk in that evening like shocked, like, you guys are creating Bibles? I can read this. You're sending this back to my homeland? Who in the middle of that crisis with, they still are, with Russia and Ukraine, and you're caring for my homeland and for my people? You're taking your time on a Wednesday night to physically with your hands put these together? And those of you who gave the missions dollars to help get those Bibles in, all of that was able to happen because people served. And because people gave, because Roman that night was excited that we were putting together Bibles in his native language, we invited him to come back on Sunday. I said, come be a part of our service. And he sat right over here with my wife and I that Sunday. And we scheduled an appointment for later that week. And as I met with Roman right here at the Starbucks across the street, and I opened my Bible and I was able to show Roman how the only way you can get to heaven is by accepting Jesus Christ as your Savior. And Roman got saved. We see he's got a picture of Roman got baptized. And all of this happened in life change in Roman's life and in his family is simply because you, church family, you served. You were going to put on a Kids Point class. You gave to mission so we could get Bibles in. And you came on a Wednesday night to put these things together. And life change happens. And the joy that comes from that is not something you experience outside of serving. I think the next picture we have, is it of the Landel family? And I think of Ryan and Katie, and I know I've talked to them, and I have their story, and going to give bits and pieces. Do you remember earlier in the service when we talked about the grace of God flows into your life so you can be a blessing and have the grace of God flow out to somebody else? I think of their family, and I know Ryan, not much of a religious background growing up in Wisconsin. Katie actually came here to this church when it was used to be Mariners. They met here in Southern California and got married, and I remember they were telling me their son had some difficulties after being born, and they worked with somebody named Greg Glogau. And Greg didn't want the grace of God that changed his life 4 years earlier to just stop and stagnate with him. And he began to be a witness and began to talk and to invite people. And I saw that Ryan and Katie came and they jumped in one of the very first ever Discover Liberty classes that we had here at church. And they signed up for discipleship, and Ryan had discipleship with Pastor Doug, and Pastor Doug showed him how he could know for sure heaven was his home. And we saw their whole family then get baptized and added, and now they're serving at On Mission Coffee Shop, and their family is here and involved. Why? Because people decided, I'm not going to let the grace of God stagnate with me. I'm going to share it with somebody else. And there's an enjoyment factor that comes only by serving. I think the last person that we have here is Austin. Every December, we put together OCCE, Orange County Christmas Experience. You know, we do that to be a blessing and a help to our community. Little did we know that Austin, his full-time job, he was going to come and he was going to set up the screen here for us at OCCE. And as he's waiting for all of the materials to arrive, Pastor Jay meets him and sits down and talks with him and invites him back to a service. He kind of talks about Austin's background. And because you folks gave generously to put on OCCE and gave of your time to be a part of it, or in the choir or in the special music, and it was free volunteer work to be a blessing to our community, we didn't know that an actual worker was going to come and meet with Pastor Jay and come back on a Sunday, and he was going to get saved. I think we have pictures of Austin getting baptized. I remember Austin being in my men's group and telling me, Pastor Mike, I live too far away from church. I've got to move closer to Liberty to make it easier for me to come here more often. He's involved in young adults, and he's involved in all the different areas in audiovisual. How did all of this happen, and how do we get to see the enjoyment in his life? Because people gave. At the end of the day, we can engage, and we can do our very best in our lives to try to enjoy, but it only comes through what Jesus Christ can do in our lives. Serving isn't just about fulfilling a role. It's about fulfilling a calling. Church family, you are made for this. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works. I think at the end of the day, if I can leave you with one thought, and I'll be done here in 90 seconds, is this. You may be here and say, I'm new. You don't know my past. How could I ever serve? I don't have any gifts. I don't have any callings. I don't have any special abilities. I don't understand how you could use me here at the church. You understand we all have baggage. We all have a past. But I love the thought, saved people serve people, not because they are better than them, but because they remember what it was like to be lost. If you look with me at the verses, 1 Corinthians chapter 6, Paul is exhorting the church in Corinth, and he says, know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived. And he begins to list out sins and problems and things that were going on in the church and in the times there in Corinth. Fornicators, idolaters, adulterers, effeminate, abusers of themselves with mankind, thieves, covetous, drunkards, revilers, extortioners. None of these people, he says, shall inherit the kingdom of God. He's basically saying, this is the problem that's going on in society, and this is the problem that's going on in the church. Oh, but church family, I absolutely love verse number 11. He says, and such were some of you. But ye are washed, and ye are sanctified, and ye are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of God. Church family, this morning, don't forget your story. Don't forget where you came from. Don't forget what you used to be. Don't forget that it took somebody to reach out to you in your sin. And there are people that are out there waiting for you to come and to serve and to be a blessing. And you get to enjoy then the benefits of watching God transform their life. None of that can happen without service. Our services on a Sunday could never happen, ever, without God's people volunteering their time. But we're so glad we get to then watch the life transformation that happens here every Sunday because people are willing to give of their time and efforts and serve and do the gifts that God has given to them. We really do need our church to serve. But serving isn't done for the church. Church family, it's done for you. Remember, my name is, and at Liberty I do. Hopefully this morning as we walk out, we can all fill in that blank. Find something that God has gifted you with, a passion, a talent of yours, and put it to work, and we can see, you know why we need to keep going? Because there's more Romans, and there's more Ryan and Katie's, and there's more Austin's, and there's more Nick and Claire's, and there's more Emmanuel and Ashley Solis's, and Terry's, and Ann Ho's. There's more people that need the gospel. So don't stop now. You've done a great job. This is not out of guilt or shame. It's awesome to watch this every Sunday. But guess what happens next Sunday? There's more people that come that need to hear about Jesus and need for us to serve so we can watch life change happen all over again.
Thank you for listening to Messages from Liberty. Tune in next week for more Bible teaching or subscribe on iTunes to stay up to date with our current series.